Hallelujah. We're saved on our way to heaven. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're loved with an everlasting love? Oh, glory, glory, glory. Thank y'all for worshiping the Lord from your heart. I tell you what, there is no place this side of heaven I'd rather be than with my church family worshiping the Lord. Oh, such liberty and such, just such feeling of the closeness of the Lord that it's just so special. Now, I mean, I know we can have it in our prayer closet. We can have it anytime we choose to draw nigh unto Him. We know He'll draw nigh unto us. But there's something about the aspect of God that you bring in your worship and the aspect that your brother brings, your sister, when we all come together. Amen? It is so special. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles to Gospel of John chapter 1. This has been turning through my heart for about a month now, and we just never have been able to get it. And I think tonight's the night. Amen. And so what the Spirit of God spoke in my heart was he wants you and I to apply this phrase tonight. He wants us to stop striving and start thriving. Come on, stop striving and start thriving in the Lord. Amen. And so if you write things down, write this down. We're going to talk about the three V's to victory. The three V's to victory. And I want you to know tonight, as you and I hear the Word of God, not what I say, but what the Holy Ghost speaks in your spirit, what He says to you, it's going to edify you and build you up and get you in a place and a position of understanding how important you are to the Lord, how important you are to the Lord's harvest, and how important you are to the fulfillment of all things that God has destined from the foundation of the world. Amen? Amen? He wants you to see your value. If you and I will see our value that God places upon us, all of a sudden we'll get a vision that God has. And when we get the vision that God has, His virtue, His power can flow through us. Right. Amen? But we'll never be able to do that unless we're in that place of understanding it's not about performance. God wants you and I to stop having a performance mentality and just have a Jesus mentality. Amen? All right. John chapter 1. Let's just start with verse number 1 to get kind of get a full train of thought here. When you're there, say amen. All right. John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, notice capital Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it. They didn't take it, in other words, they took it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Jesus didn't look like they thought he would. Verse number 12. Now concentrate on these last two verses. Verse number 12. But as many as received him, say that's me, as many as took him for his own, to them he gave power, he gave privilege, he gave authority, the ability, he gave you the ability to become the sons, the daughters, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now notice this, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Say, I'm here by ordination of God. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we honor you. Thank you, Lord, for this group of people who are hungry for you. They want to fulfill everything that you have for them. I ask for a manifestation of your anointing in our lives to lift us up to the truth of what your word says. Let every lie be revealed. Let it be put under your feet, Jesus. And let us leave here in the power of the working of the word in our lives. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. We believe, we receive, and we say, Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad tonight that you're here not by any other reason other than by the Lord? Woo! Glory! You know, God said, I'm going to need you in the last days. Amen. I've got a call on your life. I've got a place in my plan and in my finished work that I am going to utilize you in. That's something. Come on now, life's not boring. Life is not confusion because you and I have the Spirit of God. And where the Spirit of God is, there's life, there's truth, and all things are possible. Amen? So tonight I want you to come to this place that you are a victorious group of people, not because you feel like it, not because it looks like it, but because God said so. And because God said so, it's a fact. Amen? So I want us to get some stuff in our heart. Brother Ryan, would you put Psalms 86:5 on the screen? Psalms 86:5, before we get into our value, I want you to see something. Look what the Word says. Now, this is we've got to know who God is to be able to know who we are. Amen? We've got to be able to see Him in truth and reality. But it says, for Thou, Lord, art good. We got to believe that God's good. And we got to believe that anything else is not of God, it's of the enemy. And if it's of the enemy, it's under the feet of Jesus. Amen. And it does not have a part in your life, in my life. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus wants to give us the Zoe, the God kind of life. Amen? So God's good. And so I want the good things that God has for me, and I'm going to be able to receive them. Because why? He's ready to forgive. If I've not believed Him, if I've not adhered to what He has said, guess what? He is a God that is ready to make me right in His life and in His plan. You say in His life? Yeah, the Zoe kind of life, that's the only kind of life there is. Amen? Notice what it says. And He is plenteous. So you remember that He's good, He's ready to forgive, and He's plenteous in mercy. That plenteous means abundance beyond our understanding. Come on, the mercy of God. It's for you and I, and all we have to do is to call upon Him. Now, this word call is a Hebrew word, and it means to call, to address, to talk to by name. If I come up to Brother Donnie and I started calling him Fred, he probably wouldn't pay much attention. You've been to service, ain't you, before, where somebody's talked to somebody half the service and they called him by the wrong name? They've called me by all sorts of names and services. I just shake my head and go on. But anyway, if you want to get somebody's attention, you call them by name. Do you realize there's almost that I found, and there may be more, there's almost 1,000 different names and titles to your God? There's a name and a title to every situation of your life. So if I need healing, I call out to the healer. If I need deliverance, I call out to the Lord of deliverance. Amen. If I need provision, I call out to Jehovah Jireh, the God that will provide. He's more than enough. Amen. So we need to address Him by name. And so I need a vision of God. Because if I can get a vision of God, all of a sudden I recognize that I do have value. And His vision then that I have of Him, it's imparted into me where I can walk and talk according to thus saith the Lord. And when I walk and talk according to thus saith the Lord, His virtue, His power, His provision flows in and through my life and needs are met. Isn't that something? And that's the whole circle of what God wants to do in us and through us. So let's look at some things I think that'll help us so much. It'll build us up in the truth. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 10. You know these verses very well. But I want you to see something about your value. Say, I'm valuable. Okay, look what Jesus says that God thinks about you and I. In verse number 29, Matthew 10 and 29, Jesus says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Now notice, it doesn't say that one's not going to fall to the ground without your Father thinking about them. He goes to the ground with them. A dead bird to you and I, His creation. If He goes right to the ground with a dead bird, how much is he going to go with you and I through every situation of life? Now, stay with me. Jesus elaborates. He said, verse number 30, this is how you tie it together, your value, your importance. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, let's think about that just for a second. We've heard that verse. We've heard people joke about it. We've heard all the things you can hear about it. But I want us to get serious tonight by the Spirit of the living God. It said that he would follow that bird right to the ground because it was so valuable to him. And then Jesus says, I want you to know your value is so important that God is interested not just in the numbers of your hair on your head, but each hair is numbered. Notice what it said. They're all numbered. See, when you're born, if you're a blonde, you have about 150,000 hair follicles. If you have black or brown hair, you have about 110,000 on average. And then if you're redheaded, you have about 90,000. Now, that's a number. That's like tonight, you know, we talk about there's 7.5 billion people on the planet. That's a number. But when we start talking about me being on the planet, you being on the planet, it gets specific. God says, I'm specific. I don't just know the number of the hairs on your head. I know each number. Right. Now, come on now. You're talking about a God that is that intimate with you of something that as we lose every day, we don't think of that significant. But God is mindful. So whatever your situation of life, wherever you're at in your life, that's how much God wants to be involved in your life. Amen. Come on, the God of the universe. Yeah. That's how valuable you are. Now, if Jesus tries to get our attention in something as simple as this, I want you to allow it to release some things on the inside of you. Look what he says in verse 31. Fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Isn't that something? If Jesus said the Father was looking right to the bird and going when they went with him to pick them up and take them, even right down to our hair, he's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. Value. Now, let's look at some things I think will help us. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 20. For ye are bought with a price. Say, I'm bought.
I'm
bought. Come on, you're purchased. Amen. I am bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, when something is owned, ownership, possession, that requires somebody to take care of something. Everything that you own, if you're going to keep it, you've got to take care of it, right? You got to maintain it. See, the world, they don't understand what you and I understand. They don't know what you and I know. God, he has bought us with a price. I'm bought with a price, and I can bring God glory. You can bring God glory, not just in our spirit, not just in the spiritual things, but in our body. And so if God not only bought my spirit, but he bought my body, he's got to take care of it. I need God to do some things in my life. You need God to do some things in your life. Well, God is a maintainer. If he's mindful of the sparrow that fell to the ground and he went to the ground with it, he's with you tonight in your struggle, in your trouble, in the thing that is trying to fear and grasp a hold of your life. Remember, Jesus said, fear not. You are of more value. Come on, you are of more value. So God is there. He understands. So the thing that is happening in your life, whether it's spirit, soul, or body, know that God is involved in it, and he wants to maintain it. He wants to help you and I in every one of those situations, and that's our message to ourselves, but it's our message to a lost and dying world or to a backslidden world. Amen? Okay, so let's have a second witness. Turn to the 7th chapter. And in this 7th chapter, look at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 7:20. It says, ye are bought with a price. Come on, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. You are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. So I'm bought with a price. God's going to maintain me. He's going to take care of me, spirit, soul, and body. And I don't have to serve man. I can serve God. I can bring glory to God because Jesus come to make me free. Now, stay with me because you and I, as we see that God wants to maintain us, spirit, soul, and body, the issues that we have, whether it be in our mind or whether it be in our body, that the devil would want us to concentrate upon, that would want us to bow down to, want us to try to serve in those things, God wants to take care of them. God wants to help us in them. Amen? I don't have to bow down to that. I just have to trust God in it and let His grace take me through it. Now, it may not always be the answer that I'm looking for. It may not be in the way that I'm believing for. But it'll always be for what's my best and for the testimony to come in and through my life. And so I'm going to fear God. I'm going to reverence God. I'm going to let Him be the God of that situation and let Him make the decisions. All right, so I'm bought with a price. God's thinking and mindful of me, but what am I bought with? What am I bought with? You can answer that, but let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's read it out of the Word of God. Tonight we're here to build faith. We're here to build faith and release the faith that we've already got. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16. Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. We're just trying to find a starting place here. Verse 17. And if you call on the Father who is without respect of persons, judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning. You and I were just pilgrims passing through. Here in fear, in reverence. Why? Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, you were not bought, you were not ransomed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, from your empty behavior, received by the tradition from your fathers. But notice this, verse 19. How were you redeemed? How were you bought? But with the precious blood of Christ. Come on, we've read that scripture so much. If we're not careful, we'll, like Brother Corey said, we'll just let it. It's got to be like we read it for the first time. The blood of Christ. It's flowing just as free and just as red to make you and I white as it was on that first day at Calvary. Come on, it's on the mercy seat. Amen? But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, whatever you're bought with, that determines your value. Now, the most precious thing in the universe is the blood of Jesus. So that means your value is more of anything this world can calculate. Whether you look at an ounce of platinum or an ounce of gold, whether you look at all the things that man is striving for, none of those things can amount to what you're worth. God Himself has put the price tag on you. I can hold my head up high tonight. You can hold your head up high tonight because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I matter. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Your time right now in this earth is designated and ordained by God. You matter. Whether sometimes the devil wants to tell you that the devil wants to tell you that your life is inconsequential, that nobody would miss you if you were gone, that you're making no impact whatsoever, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You have significance. You have the unction of the Spirit of God. You have something to do that God has ordained from the foundation of the world that nobody can do like you. Amen? That's your value. So your value tonight is not on anything other than what God has designated. So when the devil tries to tell you that you won't be missed or you're not needed, laugh at him. Come on, you've got to fight the devil with what? With the Word. And right now we have the Word showing what God has said about you, what God thinks about you. The Bible says that God loves you with an everlasting love. That means He's always continually thinking about how much He loves you and His plan for your life. Isn't that something? See, sometimes I have a conversation with somebody and, I know they didn't understand what I said. But thank God He always does. He looks at our heart and the words don't get in the way. Amen? So that's your value. All right. Now, what I want you to tonight, I want you to build on that realization of your great value. And I want you to come and let that change your vision about yourself and about what God wants to do in you and through you. Amen? So let's look at an example. Go with me to Genesis chapter 15. Let's look at how the Word of God brings a vision. Because the devil is always talking to you and I. Why do we got so many people right now that are being motivated by hate? Because the devil's talking. And sadly, they're listening. But God has a word that will bring something different and something better. In Genesis chapter 15, look at verse number 1. Genesis 15 and 1. Don't you appreciate Brother Ryan? Thank you so much, Brother Ryan, for everything that you do for us. We appreciate it. It's a great ministry. Amen? After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. See, God's word always brings sight. Amen? You see some things. And the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not. There it is again. Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Come on, we need to shout. God just told Abram, well, that has nothing to do with everything. You're of the father of faith. Come on. The blessing of Abraham has come upon you. Come on now. So God is what? He is the same thing for you. He is your shield and your exceeding great reward. God said, I am. Right now, present tense, and I will be. Come on. I am that I am. Ia asher ia. I am. That's what God's saying. This is who I am to you. So you and I need to get a vision of who God is, like when we read Psalms 86:5, because that way we can understand our value better. But this is what God is to us, and if that's what God is to us, that's what we can be for God in the world. Right. See, because God wants us to take the vision of His Word of who—that's Jesus—and take it out to the world. Okay. Now here's what we do sometimes, okay? Because we're all the same. Abraham's not better than you. He's not better than me. Look at verse number 2. And Abram said, this sounds like a conversation that I've had with God. And if you'd be honest with me, I bet it's a conversation you've had. Verse number 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me, seeing, talking about a vision, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. What did God just tell Abram? I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Yep. What are you going to give me? Uh-huh. Come on, we're not getting the vision. We're not getting the, God told Abram, He said, listen to me. I am, this is what I am. I am yours. I'm your inheritance. I'm your all in all. And all of a sudden, instead of hearing that great revelation, Abram is thinking about what he wants, what he needs, and he's missing the whole ballpark. Now, do you just want Isaac? Thank God for Isaac. Don't get me wrong. Do you just want the one thing that brings you laughter, or do you want all things? Brother Ryan, put Romans 8:32. Let's take it to the New Testament, to where we're at in the church. We'll come back in a minute. This is what God done for us. He, God, that spared not His own Son, Jesus, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him, with Jesus, what? Also freely give us some things. So the thing that you're concentrating on tonight, the thing that I'm concentrating on tonight, is it taking me away from the big picture of all things? See, I don't care if it's in your marriage, if it's in your relationship with your children or your grandchildren, or if it's in the relationship with your coworkers. If you just continually take that one thing to God in prayer, because that's all you're thinking about, don't get mad at me, you're not really praying. See, prayer is communication. And when you talk to God about some things, He'll change your prayer according to what you really need. How many knows that when you're trying to serve the Lord and you try to get closer and closer to Him, the more hell you meet? Can I get a witness? Well, see, when you meet those different levels of devils and that different type of hell, then all of a sudden, the weak areas in your life and the weak areas in the things that you've been praying about, they get revealed. And all of a sudden, the things that I was praying for in my and Donna's relationship, in our marriage, that I thought was so important, I recognized and realized I was a selfish turd. But because God is so good, and He shows me all the things that He freely gives me, that thing that I was worried about and concentrating upon, it becomes so insignificant when He showed me what I was really needing. Come on, that's a good God.
Amen.
Can you imagine how many people out there are needing the church to pray with them, to help them get their focus off of that one little insignificant thing where God can freely give them the whole thing of Jesus? Isn't that something? Okay. Go to Genesis 17. We was in Genesis 15. Genesis 17, 1. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. Thank God for vision. Thank God for revelation and unction. And said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou complete. Be thou entire. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. See, all of a sudden, when we hear what God says, and we look at the big picture, and we think God's forgot about it, you know, here we are two chapters later, but we're talking about years. 13 years, God hadn't forgot. But you see, Abram was becoming Abraham. Elevated father, which could be pride, down to the father of many nations. See, everything that you're going through, everything I'm going through, is to make us to what God has for us. His betterment, amen? Verse 5, neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Aren't you glad that God is making us into something? Thank God for where we're at tonight, but guess what? You're going to be unrecognizable at the coming of the Lord. Why? Because this is happening. This is a process. You're going through a process. Say, I'm unrecognizable. You are, because you're going through this process, and all of a sudden you're seeing your value, and you're getting the vision of the Lord of who you are and what you're called to do. You're called to be a father, a mother of what? Of the lost nations. Nations, ethnos, people, bringing them into a relationship with God. Isn't that something? I've got to get a vision of this. I've got to get it in my heart. And if I'll get it in my heart, it'll change everything. Isn't that something? Glory. Now here's Abram changed into Abraham. Sarai changed into a Sarah. You say, well, that's Old Testament. Okay, well, how about a Saul changed into a Paul? Let's look at that real quick. Acts 9, I think it's about verse 14. Acts 9, starting about verse 14. God does miraculous things in our life. Now, you know that he got struck down on the road to Damascus. And look what it says, starting at verse 14. This is a revelation of what he was doing before he got an understanding of his value in the vision. And he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. You know, I don't care what man does, it doesn't supersede the authority of God. If God's told you to do something, do it. Man can't stop you. All right. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. This is the Lord talking to Ananias. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For I will show him vision. Vision. Come on, God wants to show us some things. He wants to make us understand who we are. You're nothing of the old man, of the old woman. Come on, you are a new creature, a new creation. You can do what God says you can do. Those things that have of the past, they have no limitation. They have no chains on you because Jesus the Son has made you free. Amen? Yes. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight, forthwith he arose and was baptized in water. So God can do it in any order he wants to. But I want you to see that this is where Saul become Paul. Paul means little. All of a sudden, Paul become little in his own eyes where he could be big in God's eyes. See, if we decrease in ourselves, we increase in God. Amen? Now think about this vision, this change. You know, Peter, he was changed. He becomes Cephas. He becomes Simon. God wants to change us. Don't let the devil name you. Don't let the world name you. You know, names in the world, they have a stigma to them. They have an attachment, and they say, well, you know, this name, it has to do with this and with that. Well, we've got a new name. The name above all others. Amen. We were first called Christians in Antioch. Amen. We are Christians, Christos. That's who we are, and that's what we go by. So you have tonight, you have an understanding of your value, and you have an understanding that if you'll look to God, He'll give you a vision. He'll give you a name change. He'll give you something to do that nobody else can do. That's why you're of value. Amen. This is the key to your victory living. This is the key to my victory living, because, see, we'll never really have victory until we let God use us to bring victory to the people that He's put in our world. Because there's never more freedom and liberty in doing what the flesh could never do. Amen. All for the glory of God. Amen? Can you, you know, we talk about the verse all the time, but Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, dunamis, virtue, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. We know that Jesus was anointed. We know that He had that virtue in His life. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at something. We're trying to build faith. Is this okay? You're with me, ain't you? Mark chapter 5. You know the story. You could paraphrase it very well, but let's start reading in verse 25. Mark 5:25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus. Now, take your marker or your highlighter, if you're doing it in your tablet or your phone or whatever. Mark out of and replace it with thee. Because the Greek word is the. When she heard of the Jesus. Come on, there's many Jesuses. It's one of the most popular names ever of that time period, because the devil is the great imitator. Right? So when she heard of the Jesus, she came in the press behind and she attached herself in the Greek to his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now stay with me. Verse 30. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that what? That virtue had gone out of him and turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? So you know the story. She was the healed by the Jesus. She was the healed of the Lord. But when she touched him by faith, virtue, dunamis, miraculous working power went out of him and went into her and it undone everything that was wrong. Now, this dunamis here is also, in this culture, where years later as technology advanced, where we get the word dynamo. Dynamo is where when energy is introduced into it, it reproduces that energy. When energy is introduced into it, it reproduces that energy. Hold that thought. And she was healed of that plague. Because why? Because Jesus knew in himself that virtue had gone out of him. I've got to see my value. I've got to have a vision of what God wants me to do. And virtue, possibility, is going to flow out of me. We're not here just walking around talking about a God that died on a cross and went to heaven waiting for the sounding of the trumpet. We're here to do something in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, behold, I have all power and authority in heaven and in earth. All is all. The devil has none. And he said, behold, I want you to go. That means when you go in the name of the Lord, all power and authority is associated in you and through you. Amen? So I see my value, I see my vision, and I see that I can have some virtue. Look here, let's have a second witness. Go to Luke 6, I think it's Luke 6, 17. And he came down with them, and he stood in the plain, talking about Jesus, with the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be what? To be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed some of them. Virtue, dunamis, went out of him. Well, that has nothing to do with me. Brother Ryan, put Matthew 10:8 up there. Out of the mouth of Jesus, Matthew 10:8, what's the first three words? Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, I want you to go. Did he say, I'll do it?
No.
He said, for you and I to do it, because the virtue is in you. Say, the virtue's in me.
Yeah.
The power is in you.
Yeah.
Glory. Let's document it. Luke 24:49. Stay with me just a few little bit more and I'll let you go. Luke 24:49, Jesus is talking before his ascension. And he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Say, that's me. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, till you be clothed with the power, the dunamis, the virtue from on. So before the day of Pentecost, they had to tarry. They tarried 10 days in the upper room. Tonight, you and I don't tarry. Because they were waiting for the manifestation of the coming of the Holy Ghost in this dispensation of the church age. But now he's here. And he's here in the believer, because that's how you got saved. That's how you got born again. He's in you. He wants to come upon you in different forms and fashions to minister in different ways, whatever the situation might deem necessary. Now, I won't take time to read it, but you read Acts 1:8, and Jesus reiterates that. But I want you to see something here. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, you got the lame man that is healed. And we won't take time to read the whole story because you know it. But in verse number 12, I want you to see how the lame man got healed. And when Peter saw it, when he saw the crowd running together and all the hysteria, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us as though by our own holiness we had made this man to walk?" So Peter said, it's not our power. But they, what did he say? "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and..." So they didn't do it in their own power. They done it in the name of Jesus. How many Christians have the name of Jesus? Only a select few? There's no other name by which you and I can be saved, right? We've all got the name of Jesus. So you've got your value, you've got your vision, you've got the virtue, you've got the power inside of you. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this man was at that temple, and Jesus, no doubt, walked by him time after time after time. Jesus didn't heal him. He could have at any time, but he wanted what? He wanted Peter and John to be able to start the ministry on this man. So you and I, when we get in the time and the season, we walk hand in hand with the Lord, those past disappointments become the greatest things of our life. Amen? All right. Let's go over to drop down to verse 16 first. Acts 4:16. Or is that chapter 3? Acts 3:16. "And his name, through his faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see. No, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So he had faith and that name of Jesus. But Rob, go over to the fourth chapter. And, you know, Peter and John, they get in so much trouble. They get beat and put in prison for doing something good. Sounds familiar, don't it? Look at verse number 7. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked," when they set Peter and John in the midst of them, "by what power, what virtue, what dunamis, or by what name have you done this?" Verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all," verse 10, "be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole." Isn't that exciting? See, take all the pressure off yourself and just know that when you're praying for somebody, just close your physical eyes, and if you lay hands on them or if you hold hands and you're agreeing in prayer, see Jesus in the midst of you. See him holding your hand in their hand. Because that's whether you see it or not, that's the truth. Because where two or three are, he's in the midst. Amen? Look at verse 33, Acts 4:33. This is after the whole multitude prays. "And with great power," there it is, that virtue, "with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Virtue. Great power. Dunamis was what? It was gave to the apostles, and they gave out. We've got to have our understanding of our value. We've got to see the vision of what's in us. Have you ever been at some place where you wanted to, you saw a need and you wanted to meet that need so bad, you know, and you just didn't have what was needed in the natural? Come on, we've all been there. I want you to know in the spiritual, you lack no good thing. Not because I said it, but because God said it, right? Those who walk uprightly, you're uprightly when you get born again. They lack no good thing. So here's what you do. You're in a situation. You're going to encounter some things. I'm telling you, there's some excitement in the spirit. I can't wrap my mind around it. It's so exciting. I just pray and laugh. I pray and roll in the floor. I can't tell you how excited. There's some things that God is orchestrating that He's raising up that is amazing. But I've got to get in the place where I believe it and I'm looking for it. And I just want you to know that if you are just, you may not in the natural have things, but I want you just to call out and go, God, I know wherever I go today, my steps are ordered by you. And when there is a need, you said that I lack no good thing. And you tell the devil that. Because see, the devil, anything that you don't have in your life, anything that I don't have in my life, it's not because you're not good enough. It's not because God doesn't love you enough. It's because there's a stinking devil out there that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. So you put him on notice and you say, devil, you let go. Holy angels, you go forth and bring what God has for me to give out today. Today, I don't lack anything. You decree that. You declare that. And all of a sudden, you raise up. Not in yourself, but in the power of the Holy Ghost and the revelation of who you are in Jesus and that you're going to change the world today. You say, well, now that's awful big ideals. I serve a big God, don't you?
Amen.
One last verse, Acts 6:8. Just to show that it just wasn't for the 12, as so many wants to talk about. Here you get into to Stephen. God ordained him to be a deacon, to be a to wait on the tables. And all of a sudden, he got promoted to the greatest. Acts chapter 7 is the greatest. If you don't have time to read the Bible and you want a synopsis of the Bible, and you need time to read the Bible, don't get me wrong, but read Acts chapter 7. Come on, the greatest synopsis of the whole Bible in that verse. You can find out so much, it brings even the clarity of the Old Testament out before your very eyes. And he was promoted to do that. Why? Acts 6:8. And Stephen, full of faith. But he didn't stop there. Full of faith and? How much? Full. Right? He's full of faith and. You put and on there. Power. And power. So he's full of power. Well, he waits on tables. Man looks at us and says, ah, they're nothing. God looks at us and says, they're my children. I have a plan for their life. Come on, whether we're taking out the trash or whether we're preaching on TV, it's no different to God. We are full. Amen? We're full. We got to believe it. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Remember his name, Stephen, means crowned. Remember the Holy Ghost moved us and we changed the service about 2 months ago and God revealed to us that we're crowned with loving kindness. The kindness of God, it follows us around because we're walking under it and in it. All right. And Stephen, full of faith and power, he did. Who did it? God did it. Ain't it something? And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. See, God will meet us where we're at. Everything that you and I are doing, it's by faith. If you're not nervous about it, you're not in faith. You say, no, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. Your spirit is confident, but your mind, will, and emotions is affecting your body. If I come out here and I think everything's fine, it'll be the most. But if I come out here like usual, I'm wired up like a steam engine. I know it's going to be all right because I'm trusting God. Amen? You're trusting God. So I want you to know tonight that you are full of some things. And God wants to give you a vision that is unimaginable. Amen? Now, this is kind of funny, but it's kind of sad. And I want to leave you with this thought. This group of men, they worked in this insurance agency. And some of the men were Christians, and they'd been witness to this one man who was just a devout, negative person. He was just a worldly person. And they had been trying to get him to come to this upcoming crusade. And all of a sudden, some things happened. And the men, they were not going to be able to go with him. Some got sick. Some had some family emergencies. Some with a job. And so they didn't go. But they made the man promise that he would go. And so he promised them he would go. And so he went to this crusade and everything. And so the next day when they were back at work, they were all excited. They wanted to hear what this man had to say. And so they said, tell us about this service, because each one of them, they'd read different things on the internet about it and how it was just such a powerful, strong move of God. And he said, let me tell you, this service was so raunchy. It was so bad. There was a man in a wheelchair on the front row, and he got up and walked out. Does that tell you anything? What are we looking at? What's influencing us? No vision. Miracles are happening before our very eyes. Amen. We need to see them. Amen. That's almost ludicrous, but you know, that's the truth. So tonight, I want you to see. There's a battle going on between light and dark. Now, the battle's won by the light, but it's still in my life. It's still in your life. And so we need to embrace the light. Remember, Jesus was that true light that come down from heaven, that lights the heart of every man, woman, and boy and girl. So we need to welcome that light. We need to ask that light to invade every part of our being. And if there's something that doesn't line up with what He is showing us, what He's asking us to do, we need to give it to Him and let that light nurture and empower and invigorate and motivate us to step into the things of God. You realize that the slightest bit of rebellion is as disobedience. Come on. God's wanting some things done, and we need to step in those things, not because we have to, but with attitude that we get to. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for this group of people who love You. They're hungry for You. I ask You right now, Lord, that You would just implant into each one of our lives the reality of what You have spoke to us tonight. Let it empower us. Let it cause us to not only build faith, but to loose all the faith that You're placing in us. And let us be about our Father's business. Lord, let it be. If there's any discouragement, if there's any despair, let it be put under Your feet right now. And let that motivation of what You have said and what Your desire and Your plan is for our life, let it become the focal point in our lives. We thank You for it. We thank You for it. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' name. Would you come and make yourself an altar? Would you say, Lord, here I am. I want to understand. Or make you an altar at your seat. Whatever you feel comfortable with. We'll take care of each other. We'll make sure. But make sure that you apply what God has for tonight. Because the Bible says in the book of Daniel that the children of God at the time of the Antichrist are going to do exploits. Well, if they're going to be able to do exploits in the time of the Antichrist, how much more can you and I tonight do the exploits of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let this word